Introduction. Today, we review the microanatomy and dynamic functional architecture of neurons and glia. We will explore neuron types and structure, glial cell diversity and function, and the intricacies of synaptic and non-synaptic communication. Additionally, we will examine key discoveries since many of us were in graduate school, redefining neuroplasticity, neurogenesis, and cortical dynamics. Our goal is to synthesize fundamental knowledge with recent advances to support clinical insight and therapeutic applications. Microanatomy, neurons and glia. Neurons and glial cells are the foundational elements of the nervous system's microarchitecture. Together, they form an intricate cellular network that allows for the encoding, processing, and dissemination of information. Neurons are highly specialized for electrical and chemical signaling, while glia maintain homeostasis, form myelin, and provide support and protection for neurons. The human brain contains an estimated 86 billion neurons, each capable of forming synaptic connections with thousands of other neurons. This leads to a staggering number of synapses, trillions, that collectively produce the electrical activity underlying thought, perception, and movement. Glial cells, which outnumber neurons, were once considered mere scaffolding, but are now known to be active participants in neural signaling and plasticity. Both neurons and glia play indispensable roles in brain function. Neurons transmit signals through action potentials and synaptic transmission, enabling rapid communication across brain regions. Glial cells modulate this communication by clearing neurotransmitters, regulating ion concentrations, and participating in immune surveillance. This interdependence underscores the necessity of understanding both cell types in any discussion of neural function. Types of neurons. Neurons are classified based on their structure and function. Functionally, the three main categories are sensory neurons, motor neurons, and interneurons. Sensory neurons carry incoming information from the periphery to the central nervous system. These afferent neurons are the first step in sensory processing, translating environmental stimuli into neural signals. Motor neurons, or efferent neurons, convey commands from the central nervous system to muscles and glands. They enable the execution of voluntary and involuntary movements. Their role is critical not only in locomotion, but also in physiological regulation, such as the control of heart rate and glandular secretion. Interneurons act as the connectors within the central nervous system. They form vast networks that link sensory and motor pathways, enabling complex functions like learning, decision-making, and emotional regulation. Interneurons are particularly abundant in the brain and are key to the integration of information across cortical and subcortical structures. Neuron structure. Despite considerable diversity in size and shape, neurons share several common features: the soma, dendrites, axon, axon hillock, and terminal buttons. The soma, or cell body, contains the nucleus and the machinery necessary for protein synthesis. It is the metabolic center of the neuron and integrates incoming signals from the dendrites. Dendrites are branched extensions that receive input from other neurons. They contain receptors that bind neurotransmitters and are often studded with dendritic spines, which increase surface area and play a role in synaptic plasticity. Dendrites funnel synaptic inputs toward the soma, where they are summated. The axon is a long, thin projection that conducts electrical impulses away from the soma. It originates from the axon hillock, a specialized region where action potentials are initiated. The axon terminates in multiple branches called terminal buttons, which release neurotransmitters into the synaptic cleft to signal the next neuron in the chain. Types of glial cells. Glial cells are broadly classified into four main types: astrocytes, microglia, oligodendrocytes, and Schwann cells. These non-neuronal cells are essential for maintaining the internal environment of the nervous system and supporting neuronal function. Each type of glial cell has distinct roles based on its anatomical location and functional responsibilities. Astrocytes are found primarily in the central nervous system and contribute to the blood-brain barrier, regulate blood flow, and maintain ion balance. They enwrap synapses and help clear neurotransmitters, thereby modulating synaptic activity. Astrocytes also release signaling molecules that influence synaptogenesis and plasticity. Microglia are the resident immune cells of the CNS and act as the first line of defense against pathogens and injury. They are highly dynamic, constantly surveying the environment and responding to injury or infection by becoming activated. Once activated, microglia can secrete inflammatory cytokines, engage in phagocytosis, and recruit other immune cells. Their role in synaptic pruning during development and in neurodegenerative processes highlights their dual protective and potentially harmful functions. Oligodendrocytes myelinate axons in the CNS, facilitating rapid signal conduction and increasing the efficiency of neural communication. A single oligodendrocyte can extend its processes to multiple axons, creating multiple myelin segments. Schwann cells perform a similar function in the peripheral nervous system, but differ in that each Schwann cell myelinates only one axonal segment. Unlike oligodendrocytes, Schwann cells also support axonal regeneration after injury, which inhibits regrowth through the expression of inhibitory molecules. Astrocytes. Astrocytes are the most numerous glial cells in the central nervous system and are recognized for their star-shaped morphology. They play a critical role in maintaining the extracellular environment by regulating ion concentrations, particularly potassium, and by removing excess neurotransmitters such as glutamate and GABA. This regulation helps to stabilize the synaptic environment and prevent excitotoxicity. Another essential function of astrocytes is their contribution to the blood-brain barrier. The end feet of astrocytes surround capillaries in the brain, influencing the permeability of the vascular endothelium and mediating the transfer of nutrients and waste products. In times of increased neuronal activity, astrocytes can signal to blood vessels to adjust local blood flow, a process known as neurovascular coupling. Astrocytes also participate in synaptic formation and elimination. They release molecules that guide synapse formation during development and continue to modulate synaptic strength in adulthood. These glial cells can influence synaptic transmission and plasticity through their role in the tripartite synapse, where astrocytes interact with pre- and postsynaptic neurons. Some researchers also suggest that astrocytes may generate their own form of chemical signaling, referred to as gliotransmission, though its physiological relevance remains under investigation. Microglia. Microglia are the central nervous system's primary immune effector cells and are critical in maintaining neural homeostasis. They originate from yolk sac progenitors during early embryonic development and are distinct from other glial cells from the neural tube. In their resting state, microglia possess small somas with long branched processes that continuously survey their microenvironment. This constant surveillance allows them to detect signs of cellular stress, infection, or injury almost immediately. Upon detecting pathology, microglia undergo a process called activation, where they retract their processes, change shape, and begin to secrete a variety of inflammatory mediators such as cytokines, chemokines, and reactive oxygen species. This transformation enables them to mount an immune response, recruit peripheral immune cells, and begin phagocytosing debris and apoptotic cells. Microglial activation is essential for clearing pathogens and facilitating tissue repair, but excessive or chronic activation has been implicated in various neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis. Beyond their immunologic roles, microglia also contribute to neural development and plasticity. During early brain development, they prune synapses by engulfing excess or weak synaptic connections, a process vital for proper circuit refinement. They continue to regulate synaptic remodeling in adulthood and influence learning and memory. Dysregulation of microglial function, whether through genetic predisposition or environmental factors, can lead to altered neural connectivity and has been linked to psychiatric conditions such as depression, schizophrenia, and autism spectrum disorders. Oligodendrocytes. Oligodendrocytes are specialized glial cells in the central nervous system, primarily responsible for forming myelin sheaths around axons. Myelin is a fatty insulating substance that enables the rapid transmission of electrical impulses along axons through a process known as saltatory conduction. Unlike Schwann cells in the peripheral nervous system, which myelinate a single axonal segment, a single oligodendrocyte can extend its processes to multiple axons and myelinate up to 50 different segments. The formation and maintenance of myelin are critical for efficient neuronal communication. Myelination reduces capacitance and increases resistance across the axonal membrane, allowing action potentials to travel faster and with less energy expenditure. Myelinated axons are vital for the functioning of long-range projection neurons, such as those involved in motor coordination and higher cognitive processes. Disruption in oligodendrocyte function can severely impair these processes, as seen in diseases like multiple sclerosis. In multiple sclerosis, an autoimmune disorder, the immune system mistakenly attacks myelin produced by oligodendrocytes, leading to demyelination and progressive neurological deficits. In addition to the loss of myelin, oligodendrocytes themselves are often destroyed, which impairs remyelination and further exacerbates functional decline. Research into oligodendrocyte precursor cells, OPCs, is ongoing, as these cells hold potential for remyelination therapies. Understanding oligodendrocyte biology is not only essential for treating demyelinating diseases, but also for exploring their role in neurodevelopment and plasticity. Schwann cells. Schwann cells are the principal glial cells of the peripheral nervous system, PNS, and they play a central role in the formation and maintenance of myelin sheaths around axons. Unlike oligodendrocytes in the central nervous system, each Schwann cell myelinates a single segment of one axon. This one-to-one relationship allows for precise modulation and repair of individual axonal fibers in the periphery. Myelin produced by Schwann cells facilitates saltatory conduction, significantly increasing the speed and efficiency of action potential propagation. In addition to forming myelin, Schwann cells are key players in axonal regeneration following peripheral nerve injury. When an axon is damaged, Schwann cells dedifferentiate, proliferate, and form bands of Bungner, which serve as guiding structures for regrowing axons. They also secrete neurotrophic factors that promote axonal growth and survival. This regenerative capability is a hallmark of the PNS and contrasts sharply with the limited regenerative potential observed in the CNS. Schwann cells also participate in immune responses in the peripheral nervous system. They can present antigens, produce cytokines, and modulate the inflammatory environment upon injury or infection. Their dual role in support and defense highlights their importance beyond structural functions. Pathologies such as Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease and Guillain-Barré syndrome result from Schwann cell dysfunction or immune-mediated attacks on myelin. Ongoing research into Schwann cell biology offers insights into therapeutic approaches for peripheral neuropathies and nerve injuries. Excitatory and inhibitory, postsynaptic potentials. Neuronal communication relies heavily on the generation of postsynaptic potentials, which occur when neurotransmitters bind to receptors on the postsynaptic membrane. These events can lead to either excitation or inhibition of the neuron. An excitatory postsynaptic potential, EPSP, occurs when positively charged ions, such as sodium, enter the neuron, making the membrane potential less negative and bringing the cell closer to its threshold for firing an action potential. In contrast, inhibitory postsynaptic potentials, IPSPs, make it less likely for the neuron to fire. These occur when neurotransmitters like GABA or glycine bind to receptors that open channels for negatively charged chloride ions or cause potassium to leave the cell. This hyperpolarization makes the inside of the neuron more negative, pushing it farther from the threshold for activation. The balance between EPSPs and IPSPs determines whether a neuron will initiate an action potential. The strength of postsynaptic potentials depends on several factors, including the amount of neurotransmitter released, the number of receptors on the postsynaptic membrane, and the distance of the synapse from the axon hillock. EPSPs and IPSPs are graded potentials, meaning they vary in size and do not follow the all-or-none principle. They decay over time and distance, with those closer to the axon hillock exerting greater influence. This system allows for complex integration of thousands of simultaneous synaptic inputs, making the neuron a powerful computational unit. Integrating postsynaptic potentials. The process of integrating postsynaptic potentials determines whether a neuron will fire an action potential. This integration occurs primarily at the axon hillock, where the combined electrical inputs from excitatory and inhibitory synapses are summated. The axon hillock is uniquely suited for this task due to its high concentration of voltage-gated sodium channels, making it highly sensitive to changes in membrane potential. There are two principal forms of summation, spatial and temporal. Spatial summation involves the additive effects of simultaneous inputs from different synapses distributed across the dendritic tree. If enough EPSPs occur simultaneously at various locations, their combined effect can depolarize the membrane to threshold. Temporal summation, on the other hand, results from rapid successive inputs at the same synapse. If a single synapse is activated repeatedly within a short time frame, the residual depolarization from each EPSP can accumulate and trigger an action potential. The integration of EPSPs and IPSPs is not simply additive. Inhibitory inputs can cancel or shunt excitatory currents, especially when located near the soma. This dynamic balancing act between excitation and inhibition enables fine control over neuronal firing. It also allows neurons to perform sophisticated computations, such as coincidence detection, pattern recognition, and gain modulation. The capacity to integrate multiple signals across time and space is what makes neuronal communication both precise and adaptable, supporting everything from reflexes to abstract thought. Action potentials. An action potential is a rapid, all-or-none electrical event that serves as the primary means of long-distance communication in neurons. It begins when the membrane potential at the axon hillock reaches a critical threshold, typically around 55 millivolts. This depolarization triggers the opening of voltage-gated sodium channels, allowing a sudden influx of sodium ions. As sodium enters the cell, the membrane potential becomes rapidly more positive, peaking around plus 30 to plus 40 millivolts. Once the peak of the action potential is reached, sodium channels begin to inactivate and voltage-gated potassium channels open. This causes potassium ions to exit the cell, repolarizing the membrane and restoring the resting potential. Often, this repolarization overshoots slightly, resulting in a brief hyperpolarization phase called the after hyperpolarization. During this time, the neuron is less likely to fire another action potential, a period known as the refractory period. Action potentials are propagated along the axon in a unidirectional manner. In myelinated axons, this conduction occurs via saltatory conduction, in which the action potential jumps from one node of Ranvier to the next. This process greatly increases the speed and efficiency of signal transmission. In unmyelinated axons, the action potential moves more slowly, as it must be regenerated at every point along the membrane. Regardless of conduction type, action potentials allow the nervous system to transmit signals rapidly across vast distances, coordinating complex physiological and behavioral responses. Synaptic transmission. Synaptic transmission is the process by which neurons communicate with one another across synapses. It begins when an action potential reaches the axon terminal, causing voltage-gated calcium channels to open. Calcium ions flood into the terminal, triggering synaptic vesicles to move toward the presynaptic membrane. These vesicles fuse with the membrane in a process called exocytosis, releasing neurotransmitters into the synaptic cleft. Once released, neurotransmitters diffuse across the cleft and bind to receptors on the postsynaptic membrane. Depending on the type of receptor and neurotransmitter, this binding can result in excitatory or inhibitory postsynaptic potentials. Ionotropic receptors open ion channels directly and produce rapid responses, while metabotropic receptors activate secondary messenger systems and produce more prolonged, modulatory effects. The outcome is a change in the electrical state of the postsynaptic neuron, which contributes to the decision to fire an action potential. To ensure precise communication, neurotransmitter action must be terminated promptly. This is achieved through three primary mechanisms: enzymatic degradation, reuptake into the presynaptic neuron, and diffusion away from the synapse. Reuptake transporters and glial cells play a critical role in clearing neurotransmitters like glutamate and GABA, maintaining synaptic homeostasis. Synaptic transmission underlies all neuronal communication, from simple reflexes to the most complex cognitive processes. Neurotransmitter co-release. The classical view of synaptic transmission, once governed by Dale's principle, held that each neuron releases only one type of neurotransmitter at all of its synapses. However, this view has been revised significantly in light of growing evidence for neurotransmitter co-release. Many neurons are now known to release more than one neurotransmitter, either simultaneously or in a context-dependent manner. This co-release can occur from the same synaptic vesicle or from separate vesicles, allowing for a diverse range of postsynaptic effects. The ability to co-release neurotransmitters enables a single neuron to modulate its output based on target cell type, synaptic activity, or physiological conditions. For example, a neuron might release both a fast-acting amino acid like glutamate and a slower-acting neuropeptide, with each targeting different receptor types. This allows for both immediate and sustained effects, which can be critical in circuits involved in arousal, emotion, and homeostatic regulation. Co-release also contributes to synaptic plasticity and network modulation. By dynamically adjusting which neurotransmitters are released under specific conditions, neurons can fine-tune their influence on downstream targets. This mechanism enhances the computational capacity of neural circuits and may play a role in learning and adaptive behavior. Continued research into neurotransmitter co-release is shedding light on how chemical signaling in the brain achieves such high levels of specificity and flexibility. Extrasynaptic transmission. Think outside the cleft. Neurotransmitter signaling is not confined to traditional synaptic junctions. Increasing evidence supports the existence of extrasynaptic transmission, in which neurotransmitters are released into the extracellular space and influence targets beyond the immediate synaptic cleft. This broader form of communication allows a neuron to modulate the activity of multiple nearby neurons simultaneously, functioning as a type of neural broadcasting system. One mechanism of extrasynaptic transmission involves the diffusion of neurotransmitters after their release from axon terminals or axonal varicosities, swellings along the axon that lack traditional synaptic architecture. These varicosities allow for the widespread distribution of chemicals such as norepinephrine and dopamine across a volume of tissue, a process known as volume transmission. The spatial and temporal characteristics of this form of signaling differ significantly from the point-to-point precision of classical synaptic transmission. Extrasynaptic transmission plays a critical role in modulating arousal states, mood regulation, and the coordination of widespread neural networks. Because it influences multiple neurons over a diffuse area, it contributes to setting the tone or readiness of entire brain regions. This mode of communication is particularly prominent in neuromodulatory systems and is essential for maintaining homeostasis and adjusting network responsiveness. Understanding extrasynaptic signaling expands our appreciation of the brain's chemical communication systems beyond the boundaries of the synapse. Volume transmission. Volume transmission is a specific form of extrasynaptic communication where neurotransmitters diffuse through the extracellular fluid to reach distant receptors. Unlike classical synaptic transmission, which is restricted to tightly defined synaptic clefts, volume transmission allows signaling molecules to influence multiple cells over a broader spatial domain. This process operates on a slower timescale and is not tightly coupled to specific synaptic contacts, making it ideal for modulatory functions. The primary advantage of volume transmission lies in its capacity to coordinate the activity of widespread neural populations. Neuromodulators such as dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine are commonly involved in this form of signaling. Released from axonal varicosities, these substances can travel considerable distances before binding to extrasynaptic receptors on nearby neurons or glial cells. This allows for the fine-tuning of network excitability, attentional states, emotional tone, and behavioral responses. Volume transmission is particularly relevant in systems where global brain states must be regulated, such as during sleep-wake cycles, stress responses, and mood regulation. The slow, diffuse nature of this signaling complements the rapid, localized effects of point-to-point synaptic transmission. Together, they allow the nervous system to integrate both precise and widespread forms of communication. Recognizing the importance of volume transmission enhances our understanding of how neural circuits achieve flexibility and resilience in complex environments. Axonal varicosities. Axonal varicosities are swellings that appear intermittently along the length of certain axons. Unlike terminal Bowden's at classical synapses, these varicosities do not form tightly structured synaptic junctions. Instead, they function as neurotransmitter release sites into the extracellular space, contributing to volume transmission. This architectural feature allows neurotransmitters such as norepinephrine and dopamine to be released more diffusely and influence a wider target area. Varicosities are commonly found in neuromodulatory systems originating in brainstem nuclei, such as the locus coeruleus for norepinephrine and the ventral tegmental area for dopamine. These systems project extensively across the brain, and their varicosities serve as distribution hubs for neuromodulators that regulate arousal, mood, and cognitive function. Because these axonal segments do not require precise alignment with a postsynaptic structure, they can exert effects on multiple neurons within their diffusion radius. The presence of axonal varicosities underscores the dual signaling capacity of many neurons, capable of both point-to-point synaptic transmission and broad modulatory release. This anatomical arrangement permits a single neuron to regulate specific circuit outputs and general network tone. In this way, varicosities are crucial in coordinating behavioral states and responding to physiological demands, such as stress or novelty. Understanding their function is key to appreciating the full complexity of neurochemical communication. Retrograde transmission. Retrograde transmission is a form of neuronal communication in which the postsynaptic neuron sends signals back to the presynaptic terminal. This process challenges the traditional unidirectional view of synaptic transmission and reveals a bidirectional dynamic between neurons. Retrograde messengers are typically lipid-based molecules such as endocannabinoids or gases like nitric oxide, both of which can diffuse across synaptic spaces and act on presynaptic targets. One of the best-known retrograde messengers is anandamide, an endocannabinoid that is synthesized on demand in the postsynaptic neuron. When released, it travels back across the synaptic cleft and binds to cannabinoid receptors on the presynaptic terminal. This binding generally inhibits further neurotransmitter release, providing a feedback mechanism that helps regulate synaptic strength and excitability. Such retrograde inhibition is critical for processes like synaptic plasticity, pain modulation, and stress adaptation. Nitric oxide, NO, another retrograde transmitter, is a diffusible gas produced by nitric oxide synthase in response to calcium influx. Because of its gaseous nature, NO can influence a broad area around its site of release. It diffuses freely across membranes and can enter neighboring cells without the need for vesicular release or receptor binding. Once inside a target cell, NO activates intracellular signaling cascades, such as the production of cyclic GMP, which modulate cellular activity and contribute to long-term changes in synaptic efficacy. Retrograde signaling represents a powerful mechanism for feedback regulation and intercellular coordination in neural networks. Neurotransmitter. Release modulation. Neurotransmitter release modulation is a key mechanism by which neurons fine-tune their output in response to both internal and external cues. This form of modulation primarily occurs at axoaxonic synapses, specialized junctions where one neuron's axon influences the axon terminal of another. These synapses do not generate postsynaptic potentials in the traditional sense, but instead regulate the amount of neurotransmitter released by modifying presynaptic calcium dynamics. In presynaptic inhibition, the axoaxonic synapse releases a neurotransmitter that binds to receptors on the presynaptic terminal of another neuron, causing hyperpolarization or reducing calcium influx. This leads to a smaller release of neurotransmitter in response to an action potential, effectively dampening the signal. This mechanism is important for controlling excessive excitation and preventing neurotoxicity. It also plays a role in sensory gating, such as filtering out redundant or irrelevant stimuli. Conversely, presynaptic facilitation enhances neurotransmitter release. A modulatory axon terminal releases a neurotransmitter that increases calcium entry into the presynaptic neuron, typically by affecting calcium channel function. The resulting elevation in intracellular calcium leads to a more robust release of neurotransmitter during subsequent action potentials. This increase in synaptic strength can amplify the impact of specific neural pathways, contributing to processes like sensitization, associative learning, and motor coordination. These presynaptic mechanisms allow for targeted control of communication between individual neurons. Autoreceptors modulate neurotransmitter release. Autoreceptors are specialized receptors located on the presynaptic membrane of a neuron that respond to the neurotransmitter released by that same neuron. Unlike heteroreceptors, which respond to neurotransmitters released by other cells, autoreceptors serve as part of an internal feedback system. When activated, they generally inhibit further neurotransmitter release, thereby regulating synaptic strength and maintaining homeostasis within the neuron's own signaling system. The most common mechanism through which autoreceptors exert their influence is by modulating calcium entry into the presynaptic terminal. Upon binding their ligand, usually the very neurotransmitter the neuron has just released, these receptors initiate intracellular signaling cascades that reduce the probability of vesicle fusion and subsequent neurotransmitter release. This negative feedback loop helps prevent overstimulation of postsynaptic neurons and contributes to synaptic precision. For example, serotonin autoreceptors on serotonergic neurons can inhibit further serotonin release, regulating mood and emotional tone. In some cases, autoreceptors can influence other cellular processes, such as neurotransmitter synthesis and gene expression, adding another layer of regulatory control. The activity of autoreceptors can be modulated by pharmacological agents, making them key targets in the treatment of neurological and psychiatric disorders. Drugs that block autoreceptors, for instance, can increase neurotransmitter availability and are sometimes used in the management of depression or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Understanding autoreceptor function enhances our grasp of how neurons self-regulate and maintain stable patterns of communication within complex neural networks. Neuromodulators adjust neurotransmitter action. Neuromodulators are chemicals that influence the effect of neurotransmitters on postsynaptic neurons, often by altering receptor sensitivity or intracellular signaling pathways. Unlike classical neurotransmitters, which typically act at ionotropic receptors to rapidly change membrane potentials, neuromodulators act primarily at metabotropic receptors. These G-protein-coupled receptors initiate slower, longer-lasting changes in the postsynaptic cell by triggering second messenger systems that can alter gene expression, protein synthesis, or ion channel function. One key way neuromodulators adjust neurotransmitter action is by modifying receptor affinity or efficacy. For instance, when alcohol binds to an allosteric site on the GABA-A receptor, it enhances the receptor's response to GABA, increasing chloride ion influx and hyperpolarizing the neuron. This effect amplifies inhibition, which is why alcohol has sedative and anxiolytic properties. In contrast, drugs that block neuromodulator binding sites can attenuate receptor function and dampen neural signaling. Neuromodulators play essential roles in regulating brain states such as arousal, attention, motivation, and emotional processing. They help fine-tune neuronal responses based on environmental demands or internal states. For example, dopamine modulates neural activity in reward pathways, while acetylcholine enhances sensory perception and attention. Dysregulation of neuromodulatory systems is implicated in numerous neurological and psychiatric disorders, including depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, and Parkinson's disease. Therefore, understanding how neuromodulators influence neurotransmitter action is crucial for both basic neuroscience and clinical interventions.